In a world obsessed with instant results and instant results just getting faster, right? It's like they'd say that if you don't capture someone on certain platforms in 3 seconds, you're not going to get them. I order something on a holiday weekend on a Sunday, and it's to my door within hours. The perception of common knowledge of instant results keeps changing, and we are obsessed with it. I remember in 1992, how long it took to download a list of case law in DOS with a 9600 baud modem. I could go out to dinner and come back and it still wasn't downloaded. I remember how long that hourglass used to sit there. I remember how long it took on a Friday to cash my check. I remember how long it took to get somebody where perfection has become one of the biggest distractions to this progress. As we reach for this instant ubiquity, our expectations are skewed and our ability to enjoy consistency is distracted. We tell ourselves we're waiting for the right time, but we're not willing to wait for other things. But what we're really doing is delaying, distracting, and interfering with our growth. The truth is, greatness isn't built through perfect moments. It's built through behaviors, consistent movement. Greatness isn't built through perfect moments, but it's built through consistent movement. Every successful entrepreneur, athlete, leader that I've worked with shares one single trait, one common denominator. They show up every day with a desire that they must be what they can be, even when the circumstances are against them, even when it's inconvenient, even when they don't feel ready. Every single morning, I wake up around 4 a.m. Pacific time, and I meditate to transcend the information from my unwinding routine, my sleep, and my number one non-negotiable habit. And I don't feel ready most of the days to go do my non-negotiable minimum of 1 hour on my health. And I don't feel ready. But every time I do it, I'm always glad I did. I've never finished my health routine and said to myself, man, I'm so sad that I did that. Even though almost every day I don't feel ready, every day I feel glad and grateful that I did it. We understand that consistency is the foundation of all achievement. That the focus in on our behaviors are what will determine, not the focus in on the evidence or no evidence or contrary evidence or outcomes. When we place the need to be perfect, when we replace that need with the commitment, the desire to be consistent with the behaviors that are aligned with where I want to be or better, the non-negotiable and negotiable behaviors, momentum becomes your greatest competitive advantage. You live in the empty mile where nobody else is. Not that extra mile that you go every once in a while and use it to justify why you're not where you want to be. This training that I've developed is designed to help us shift from perfectionism of the instant perception to the progress of the longer we go. Someone mentioned earlier in the Scott Simon, you know, like we don't know what we don't know. And I always say the longer we go, the less we know. Because perfection, the attachment to perfection, the attachment to the ignorant arrogance of thinking we know that we know what we don't know or think that other people know, stalls our potential by limiting our behavior, but it is consistency that compounds it. The first lesson of consistency will beat out perfection every day of the week is progress loves repetition, but humans don't. Progress loves repetition, but human beings don't. Momentum is built through repetition. not random bursts of inspiration or motivation. Getting up, getting back up, getting started and getting back started is necessary, but it's not going to get you to where you want to be, nor will those random bursts of inspiration that I call motivation. Every time you repeat a productive behavior, which is defined as aligned with where you want to be or better, your quote unquote divine direction in quote unquote divine time, you strengthen the confidence, comfortability, the skills, and the beliefs that leads to those feelings. You start doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing every single day in alignment in your divine direction. Consistency compounds. It aggregates and accelerates, which are three characteristics that are favorable to the outcomes that you desire, while inconsistency resets your progress. It's a zero effect, a zero impact. If you believe in the exponentiality of consistent intention and consistent behavior, you start at zero and then you go to X to the zero, then X to the first, X to the second, X to the third, X to the fourth, the exponentiality of progress. But every time you interfere with that consistency, you have an X to the zero, which equals one, and you go back to the baseline. So many salespeople that I work with make so many calls every day, and they outperform all of those who make 20, 30, 40, or even 100 calls once a week. This steady rhythm, this hypnotic rhythm, as Napoleon Hill suggests, creates an improvement in progress, opportunities, options, and touches of favor. It is that consistent, persistent pursuit of the potential of outcomes in sales that reaches what we and how we desire. It is the mission of being consistent in those behaviors that brings the commissions, not the reverse. We don't need to reinvent success daily. We just need to refine it, figuring out from the failures what is the feedback. So many people call me lucky. Now, they have seen my family, my wife, my kids. I can understand why, but I will tell you, don't call me lucky if my failures, the number of failures I have, outnumber the number of tries that you have. We want to refine what already works. Failure is feedback. Excellence isn't about doing it perfectly. It's about failing it perfectly once. And then it's about doing it all over again, utilizing the feedback to make the divine adjustments, the divine detours to realign the divine direction. When we can identify these behaviors that are consistent, that move us towards our goals. We mentioned a few of them earlier about our health. Almost a third of my day is spent on my health, more than a third of my day minimum every day on the things that keep my heart beating, knowing that the human experience is only dictated by a common denominator of the heart beating. Your life starts when your heart starts and it ends when your heart stops. It's that simple. So why not do everything you can to keep your heart beating? Just like keeping money in the bank keeps your business running. That's why it should be the priority every day to make sure you have enough money to stay in business tomorrow. But when we can identify these daily behaviors that move us in the divine direction forward and make them non-negotiable, like the sleep, like the health, like the family, like the finance, like the faith, like the study of time, like the study of relativity, we can then be able to quantify and measure the negotiable circumstantial behavior that only results in 10% of our outcomes. When we can track and quantify comfortably the behaviors and utilize that to be better with the feedback in those behaviors, to do, say, think, feel, and believe our progress, it allows us to stay accountable by learning the lessons of those failures, the feedback from those failures. What did I do to attract this to myself? What did I do to be responsible for this? What did I do to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Progress loves repetition. Human beings don't. The second lesson of consistency beats out perfection is perfection is the enemy of execution. Perfection creates paralysis. We've all heard paralysis by analysis. What are you analyzing? When we utilize a AAA strategy of alignment, action, and adjustment, we alleviate the paralysis created by perfection in the pursuit of perfection instead of the pursuit of our potential and the pursuit of progress. The pursuit of flawless outcomes leads to overthinking, overanalyzing, hesitation, interference, while the imperfect action, the focusing on the behaviors, will create the feedback, learning, and growth that is necessary in the divine direction for divine detours. Failure is feedback. Don't call me lucky if the number of failures I have is more than the number of tries that you have. So many entrepreneurs that I work with, they delay and delay and delay the launching of their product, service, solution, or their brand, their podcast, their book, whatever it may be, until it's quote unquote perfect. But perfect misses the chance to test and go and prove and show and gain early traction in order to facilitate a community of people that will buy from you and sell for you. Execution, an execution model based off the values and these behavior, will beat hesitation every day of the week. People who win are those who are willing to act, fail fast, and evolve. Align, take action, and prepare for adjustment. Progress will require only one thing: motion. Progress requires motion, action. It does not require perfection. And utilizing the progress, not perfection attitude will build the momentum of acceleration, aggregation, and compounding results, regardless of the evidence that is appearing each and every day. What we need to do is to set forth non-negotiable behaviors with a minimum amount of time and honor them the best that we can. Exceptions, yes. Doubling the L's 2 days in a row, absolutely not. Getting it done is better than perfect. 100% of the things you get done, get done. 100% of the things you do now or do next, get done, whether they're perfect or not. We can always take the feedback and pursue the potential while we progress and grow, accelerate, aggregate, and compound our outcomes. Framework is so important when it comes to the perfection as an enemy of execution. Framing it allows us to reframe it. And when we reframe the mistakes as feedback for refinement, instead of utilizing it as reasons for delay, having a framework of structure, understanding how we're going to execute on the values and practices and behaviors that we have, allows us to refine, not delay. Have your values, have your behaviors, and know your execution model, because perfection is the enemy of that model of execution. The third lesson, is habits, behaviors compound faster than hustle. Consistent behavior, which are called habits, compound exponentially faster than hustle. I want to create not a hustle culture. I want to create a habit culture. I want to create a habit machine for the habit culture. And I want to create a community of people that are habitually in alignment with behaviors to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. That's how I'm going to empower over a billion people to be happy. Not by teaching people to hustle. I'm going to teach people to have it. One productive burst, one extra miler, doesn't build a business. They'll just use that extra mile to justify why they're not where they want to be and blame somebody else, justify why they're not where they are. But I'll tell you what does. Not hustle. Daily habits do. Daily habits build a professional and personal direction of progress. Sustainable success in life and business is the result of consistent behaviors of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing. not occasional intensity or intention, but consistent attention plus intention. Doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing in your divine direction will equal the coincidences, the coinciding of your desires of the universe. An athlete who trains for 30 minutes minimum daily outperforms one who works out extremely hard once a week. The conscious continuum that exists will support the evidence of consistent behavior, notating that the conscious memory is cellular in its nature. The conscious memory exists in your physicality, in the cells, and it has a short-term memory to it. It's only 24 hours. And so any inputs every 24 hours, it will take 21 days to take that input and to start building a neural pathway in your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind, taking from the 10,000 inputs, new inputs you have every day, it has already stored from this lifetime, maybe even past lifetimes, if you believe in that, 40,000 of the same thoughts, 80% of them negative or more, depending on your genetic and energetic inheritance, that are reinforcing those neural pathways every single day with or without your awareness. And the more that those neural pathways speak to the epigenetic layer of your unconscious competency or genetic and energetic inheritance, we can activate a new you or continue to perpetuate the old you. But as the repetition from the cellular memory to the subconscious memory to the unconscious competency that builds endurance and rhythm, identity and intention, it is not hustle. It is consistency. It is habits, not hustle. These habits turn our effort into automatic excellence in the conscious continuum from the conscious, subconscious, the unconscious mind. Habits don't fade if you stay consistent in them, but hustle does. Habits last. What you repeat, what we repeat, becomes who we are. What we repeat becomes who we are. That's why I like cliches. Because imagine how much repetition has to occur and how true something must be if it becomes a cliche. That's why I pay attention to the simple things, because the simple things to do are simple not to do. And why not double down in habituality, in consistent behavior on the simple things, like saying thank you. Thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. A simple 0.1 seconds, and it's free every single day, will change your life only if you are consistent and create an effort into the automatic excellence of the conscious continuum instead of saying thank you on a Saturday or a Sunday, praying to your God. We need to start with one keystone habit that impacts the multiple areas of your life. My suggestion always is sleep, because it's a third of your life, to become a habitual expert in progressing in sleep, and then health, and then family, and then faith, and then finance, and then the study of time and relativity. That's how I prioritize the keystone habits that impact the multi areas of my life. Then I focus in on the prioritization aspect of the other 12 hours of my day, focusing in on frequency before intensity. This is a huge one. Lower the bar. Focus in on the frequency before the intensity, build the hypnotic rhythm, then increase the effort, and then decrease the effort determined upon the day. The only way you can stay consistent is to play around with the effort so that you recover, that you detour all the lessons and feedbacks. You can't go 100% all the time on everything. 100% means to recover and access more information, not to continually just go and hustle, hustle, hustle. Because I will tell you that habits compound faster than hustle. The fourth lesson is that consistency creates clarity, awareness. Clarity isn't just found in intelligence or thinking or studying. It's discovered through doing. Consistent efforts reveals patterns, clues, insights to make better choices, allowing us to be aware more of the thoughts that vibrate the fastest, which is the truth that planning and strategy cannot alone uncover. So many content creators, podcasters, authors, and speakers who I work with and post daily, quickly learn what resonates with their audience, their community, their frequency, their neighborhood. While so many others who post sporadically, speak sporadically, write sporadically, think sporadically, never find their essence, never find their voice, because they don't know what resonates with them, and therefore they can't speak their truth to resonate with other people. There's a lower frequency, so they have less of a strength of a signal, a more narrow spectrum, and a less clear message. It is consistency that creates that clarity. Clarity of your voice, of your essence, of the overused term authenticity. Consistency is a mirror. It reflects what works and what doesn't. Don't call me lucky just because the number of failures that I have is less than the number of tries that you do. The more often you show up, the more precise your divine direction will become. We need to review, take alignment, take action, and adjust, review the consistent, persistent actions that we take to identify the clues and the patterns and the choices from the lessons and the feedbacks to create more options, opportunities, and touches of favor by growing our community of people that are here to help one another and know people that help one another. We need to treat each repetition as an experiment that brings you and us closer to the mastery. It is just an experiment. It's a trust and vet. It's a test and go environment that creates the clarity, harmony and focus, the attention and the intention to equal the coincidences, the coinciding of the universe. Consistency is what creates that clarity, harmony, and focus that creates those coincidences. Lesson 5 of consistency beats out perfection every single time is we need to focus on frequency, not flawlessness. Being at ease, understanding the paradigm shift of I am, not this is what I want people to think I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with that? When we are in the flow, we have reduced, diminished, dissolved the interference between us and the infinite amount of intelligence, intuition, inspiration, energy, etc. Our mastery comes from this consistent understanding and awareness of our frequency, our vibration, not the perfect execution of it. The more often that we do say, think, feel, and believe, the easier it becomes to perform at our best. Confidence and comfortability comes from practice, not perfection. Those who perform their best have prepared at their best. So many authors that I work with write just one page every day, and they publish their books before the perfectionist finishes their outlines. I always reminisce with a dear friend who invented Pictionary. I think I wrote 4 books by the time he had written his book, and he could have written 8 because that was his full-time job. Every time, those who write one page a day are far greater than those who publish the outline of perfection. Perfection is a moving target because time, emotion, and value changes the minute you come to a decision, the minute you develop a plan. If you want God to laugh, come up with a well-developed plan, because time, emotion, and value will change immediately after you come up with that well-developed plan. Every contract and agreement, written, oral, implied, with consideration or without, changes the minute, the second afterwards, because time, emotion, and value changes. That's why I created the overlap agreement, a memorialization, so that we all can benefit from our relationships at any industry, career, or job. And if you like that template of an overlap agreement, if you're tired of not creating abundance with your friends, families, and associates and relationships, where each of you can buy from each other and sell for each other for life and create abundance to make a lot of money for the sake of helping each other and others and having a lot of fun, email me for that overlap agreement. It'll change your life. David@dmeltzer.com. We have thousands of people in our private networking group who utilize the overlap agreement. who makes seven, and I'm getting close to eight figures with the overlap agreement by simply creating a community of people that are buying from each other and selling for each other with a memorialization, not a binding agreement that takes into account that time, emotion, and value changes, because we focus in on frequency, not flawlessness. We focus in and understand perfection as a moving target. So start now, stay steady, let consistency create your version of perfection. Email me if you'd like that overlap agreement, david@dmeltzer.com. We need to use time. We need to be students of a calendar. We need to schedule these things non-negotiably and negotiably. We need to make sure that it's in our calendar for a minimum amount of time, taking into account who we want to visit with and who don't. I keep my phone calls to a minimum of 5 minutes and my meetings to a minimum of 20. Knowing that on average, after 5 minutes, we're just visiting, and I want to prioritize who I visit with, not people I don't know, not people I barely know. Most of the time, frequent practice sessions, intentional sessions, will build the ease, flow, comfort, and confidence that you need to be prepared for progress, not perfection. Celebrate completion and consistency, not flawlessness. Celebrate completion and consistency, not flawlessness. It's such an important thing to be able to celebrate the behaviors, the consistent 2 minutes a day over some flawless 2 hours on a Saturday that has so little impact to get us to where we want to be or better. These are the five lessons of how consistency beats perfection. Remember, progress loves repetition. Human beings don't. Perfection is the enemy of execution. Know your values, your daily behaviors, and your execution model to create the progress, not perfection. Habits compound faster than hustle. I want a whole army of habitual divine doers, not hustlers. Consistency creates clarity, harmony, and focus that creates the coincidences of attention plus intention. And make sure that we focus in on frequency, not flawlessness. Perfection, it may feel safe, but it's consistency that creates success. The people who win in business and sports and in life are the ones who keep showing up when the others stop. There's 1,000 steps to get to where you want to be, and 90%, 99% of the people quit before they're 250 steps down the road, because it takes consistent, persistent behavior to get to the 250 steps before it doubles to 500, before it doubles to 1,000. It is every small action that compounds into confidence, capability, and clarity. We need to enjoy what we don't like or love about what we love and what we don't love. I'm going to repeat that. We need to enjoy what we don't like or love about what we love or what we don't love, so that these small actions, these non-negotiable behaviors, will compound with confidence, comfortability, capability, and clarity. Remember, perfection will isolate us in preparation. Consistency will integrate us, collaborate us, coordinate us into progress. You don't need to be flawless. Don't call me lucky, because the number of failures I have outdoes the number of times you tried. You need to be faithful. You need to be wise with your habits, your divine direction, your detours in their divinity, and most importantly, your purpose and your thoughts about your purpose, for the sake of what, not how we happy when. Keep showing up. Keep moving, keep improving. The path to greatness is in about doing everything right. That's for sure. It's about never quitting. Never quitting and having the desire to be what you must be by enjoying the consistent, everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of your potential. It's about never quitting on your divine direction, on what's right for you. Now, what? Right for other people. No, it's missing or you don't have. I promise you that consistency will beat perfection every day of the week. This has been our anniversary, 28 years of free Friday trainings. Consistency beats perfection. If you would like any of the guides, the 1,000 steps, if you like the guide to the values or daily practices or execution model, Or if you just like the guide and exercises from today of consistency beats perfection every day of the week, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. It's posted right there, david@dmeltzer.com. All right, Wammer, we got about 22 minutes. Let's make this party happen. I'm tired of talking to people. I want to listen for what they want to learn.
I love it. And as a reminder for everybody, whether you're here live in the Breakfast of Champions, the Best Brewing Community at Clubhouse, or whether you're joining us online, if you would like to guide an exercise from today's 28-year anniversary training, consistency beats perfection, adding in there every day of the week, make sure to reach out to David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. Once again, if you would like to guide an exercise, just make sure to email David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And speaking of the birthday queen of the week, it is perfectly in alignment with our first question of the day. So it's always a pleasure and an honor to turn it over to the wonderful Colleen Malloy. Colleen, happy, happy birthday. I hope you had an incredible celebration this week. And why don't you kick us off with what is the first question of the day?
Thank you so much, everybody. Happy anniversary. It's been such a pleasure being part of these trainings for over 12 years now.
It's much easier than it used to be. Poor Colleen used to, we did them live. She had to get the lunch ready. She got to get the everything set up, the microphones, people would fly in. It's much easier online.
Yes. Well, before all this, when we had, 50 to 75 people every Friday showing up at our office, not only looking for free food, but free education.
Yeah. And getting rid of them afterwards was even harder.
Exactly. My question today is a little bit of an overlap from the lesson you have mentioned in the past with timing and risk tolerance. You had talked today about the testing and go strategy. How do you take that into consideration, an overlap with your timing and risk tolerance strategies so that we're making sure that we're testing with the right people? And also taking into consideration, our own timing of business.
Very insightful question. I always tell people I know the level of understanding or awareness by the subtlety of the question. It is actually timing and risk tolerance that's necessary within the test and go, because you can't have some sort of quantified measurement if you don't have a baseline. And so the baseline of this idea of testing and going is, what is my timing and risk tolerance for this type of activity, non-negotiable or negotiable, professional or personal? And so when I know what the timing that I'm looking for, and I know that is acceptable when I say looking for in my divine direction, and I know what I'm willing to invest or quote unquote risk, then if it doesn't work out, meaning it's going to take more time than my bottom line will allow, or it's going to take more investment than my bottom line is going to allow, then I can be disappointed and move forward with the lessons in a different detour divine direction because I already know my timing and risk tolerance. So I'm testing and continually moving in progress according to the predetermined predisposition of timing and risk tolerance, because I'd rather be disappointed than resentful or guilty or broke. Obviously, knowing my timing and risk tolerance allows me to mitigate that risk of losing everything and being able to do my best and progress into the potential of that divine direction. So it is critical to have your timing and risk tolerance in order for the test and go strategy to work. So thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Awesome. Let's keep this train rocking and rolling. We got DJ Dave Berlin, who's patiently waiting for the next question. So, DJ Dave, happy Friday, my friend. It's always good to see you here. Why don't you unmute yourself and keep us rolling with the next question?
Good morning.
See, consistency and sharing to the Jesus.
I love it. Good, good.
Good lesson. The question is, when you talk about consistency and habits, what do you do to eliminate a habit that is keeping you from returning to your base down and keeping you from continuing to a soul. And I've been through the last almost 90 days of a secret pause with my partner and really trying to go inward. I'm starting to develop new commitments that are positive, but I keep coming up with also habits that are also very not productive and really challenging to personal relationships and professional relationships. So,
yeah, so let me help you with that. So, you know, for me, looking at things as is this in alignment with, and is the meaning, is this behavior or activity in alignment with where I want to be? And is the meaning I give the past of this aligned with where I want to be compared to what you're suggesting, which is either the behavior is interfering with where you want to be or better, or the meaning of the behavior is interfering with where you want to be or better. So there's two different things to evaluate, David. But the simple idea of I am, what am I doing to interfere with it, allows us to create the non-negotiable behaviors, which will create 90% of the results of I'm going to spend a minimum amount of time on my sleep, my health, my relative relationships, like your partner and you, your family, your faith, your finance, the study of time and relativity. Relativity means meaning. So when I say every day I study relativity for a minimum amount of time as a non-negotiable behavior, regardless of the circumstances of the day, which, by the way, still leaves me 12 hours of my awake time to do whatever the heck I want and prioritize whatever heck I want with whoever I want by the circumstances of the day, because I know that 90% of my success will come from a minimum 7 hours of sleep, an hour on my health, an hour with those that are most relative to me, family, girlfriends, wives, et cetera, minimum amount of time on my faith, my finance, the study of time, and the study of meaning. And so what I want you to do is to look at that behavior. It's awesome that you're now aware, hey, this behavior is interfering with where I want to be or better. And is my meaning interfering with it, if even the behavior may not be? And so as you do and take inventory in the behaviors, making sure that the behaviors are aligned, but also the meaning of the past, which casts a shadow over your future or limits you, because the meaning of your past will limit your self-image and your imagination. You'll never overachieve your own imagination or your self-image. So everyone here should be taking inventory of non-negotiable and negotiable behavior, circumstantial and non-circumstantial behavior, taking inventory of those behaviors, but also inventory of the meaning you give those behaviors, and make sure all of them are aligned with where you want to be or better, not interfering with it. And if you do that, you will start to progress and accelerate, aggregate, and compound those outcomes, regardless of the evidence that's there today, whether it be no evidence or contrary to where you want to be. It is irrelevant to where you're going to be and what you're going to become. Does that sound fair? You got it, man. We'll see you in October. We got a big thing with the Office Hours Season 9 and the Global Gaming League VIP experience and dinner in October, which we're inviting everybody to. We got T-Pain, Howie Mandel, Clinton Sparks, myself. We're going to kick some butt with Season 9 and Global Gaming League VIP experience and dinner in between the 2 days of filming in October, Wednesday and Thursday. I think the 29th and 30th are the two dates, but please reach out to Nick. We want you to get involved and make sure we get everybody there in your group and organization. We appreciate your support.
Beautiful. All right. Let's keep this thing going. And
DJ Dave.
We have a ton of requests here for additional questions. I'm going to pass it over to Brent Nichols, who's been patiently waiting. And Brent, just as an FYI, my friend, we're going to be back in New York City twice in November, the 14th and the 17th. So,
And the 15th at the 1% event. Dude, you keep leaving shit out. Do you need to use my text number, bro?
I do. I need the reminders on where we're going to be. I can't keep up. But Brent, why don't you take us away with the next question? Yo, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, wait, Brett, before you start, I owe you a request for forgiveness. I'm human. So just so you know, Brent is a member of our, one of the OG members of our, what was originally the private coaching group. Now it's so big, it's a private networking group where we help each other, but I answer questions on Monday. And I give introductions personally on Monday myself, every Monday. Don't miss a week, as Brent will tell you, for years. But I gave Brent shit because he didn't show up in New York to a variety of things that I've been going to. And he set me straight because it was like, don't make me feel guilty, right? You told me it's an invitation, not obligation. Don't make me feel guilty that I am prioritizing what's important to me, not what's important to you. And it is absolutely a difficult lesson as a coach in the position I am of trying to help people to not have a need to be offended, because not everybody can show up in person to shit. And so thank you for your patience with me. And I'm appreciative of forgiveness for me, you know, being offended that you didn't show up.
I love you so much. You know, that day affected me a lot. And it strengthened our relationship. It's like, wow, because I care and I know you care. And so like there was this energy, and now it's time for action. And, you know, it only strengthens. But wow, humbly accept your apology.
I love you, man. Of course.
So here's my question. It's sort of simple, but really difficult.
Yeah. Simple things to do are simple not to do. So we're on the right track.
Like the routines make everything like just like Dave, I'm on my run right now, and that's consistent behavior. The morning routine, you wake up at 4:30, it's your time, you own it. The night routine, I feel like that would be a game changer to things I got going on, but I can't seem to nail it down. There's always like laundry, dishes, kids, this, that, whatever. And like, I got no time for myself at the night. The blurred line of ending work is completely blurred. And I need help with that specific consistent behavior. And I think, you know, I know you have some insight on that, so I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. So number one is the Michael Jordan rule with the unwinding routine. So it may be that you're not creating an unwinding routine, but even if you are and you just aren't impacting or effectuating it, it's the Michael Jordan rule. The Michael Jordan rule says this: when I'm having difficulty making something non-negotiable, I need to institute the Michael Jordan rule. So I say to myself, if I had an appointment at 9 p.m. every night to talk to Michael Jordan and he would read me a bedtime story, would I be there? Would I be there? If Michael Jordan said, you know what, every night, if you're here at 9 o'clock, I will sit by your bed and read you a bedtime story to unwind you. Would you make sure that you were there at 9 o'clock to meet Michael Jordan? And it could be whoever you feel like Michael Jordan. For me, it's Michael Jordan. Because every time I say that to myself, I'm like, I would drop everything to make sure that I allow Michael Jordan to unwind me before I go to bed. I use the Michael Jordan rule a lot when I have my, 4:20 workout routine and I don't feel like going to it. I'm like, if Michael Jordan was down in the gym waiting for you, would you get your ass out of bed and do this? And the answer is always yes. So if, that Michael Jordan would motivate you, and two, you understand the unwinding routine, no longer will the dishes, the kids, the negative energy, the negative content, the blue light from your phone, the wrong temperature, the wrong blankets, whatever it is that's interfering with your ability to recover and access information, to unwind to the mind, body, and soul in a position to do that, it will change. So one, make sure you understand the unwinding routine, make sure you schedule it, and make sure you have the Michael Jordan rule applied. I look forward to seeing you when convenient and aligned with your divine direction.
Beautiful. And as we approach what is the final 8 minutes.
Coco's here. She says hi, Nick. Coco says hi. She hears your voice. She's going crazy. He's not here, Coco. Nick is not here. Nick is not here. All righty.
So good. All right. So we have, we actually have Marissa Meltzer, who has been patiently waiting for the next question of the day. So Marissa, happy Friday. It's good to see you here. What are you curious about this Friday?
Yeah. Well, first, cracking up at your example of Michael Jordan taking a bedtime story. That's so neat.
Yeah. It'd be awesome. Someday I wish. I'd invite him to sleep with me too, like just snuggle. That'd be fine. Yeah. I know every guy here is like, I would too. No problem, Dave. I'm with you. As long as he signed my pajamas. Well, I have Michael Jordan pajamas too, so it's cool.
That's good. Anyways, so I guess my question for you is just about getting in your own way. So I feel like you always tell me sometimes, I feel like I'm better at this now, but like sometimes we get in our own way and like we're the ones that, I don't know, like just perception, or maybe that's the word, but I just, can you explain like what you mean by that and how to get out of your own way?
Yeah, that's what David was talking about. And it's so funny because there's so many variances of how people describe the difficulty of interference. So the first premise of getting in your own way is that there's something to get in the way of. And so believe it or not, there has to be faith. There has to be faith that there's something bigger than you, that's omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, has an infinite amount of energy and love, has an infinite amount of information and intelligence and intuition and inspiration. And so when we start with the premise that I am one, I'm a commander of the infinite, commander means to work with, just like commandments, not demandments, but I'm a commander of the universe. And so first we have to have a predisposition of faith. We have to predispose ourselves that, you know, we are living with faith. There's something bigger than us that protects us, promotes us, loves and perfects us more than our mom and greater than our mom. And once we have that infinite understanding, that faith, we now can use our reaction to fear and then analyzing the response to the reaction to fear to see how much time in the 24 hours that we're guaranteed that we're interfering with that infinite, interfering with our commanding powers of working with the infinite, the universe, in the infinite amount of everything for everyone, more than enough of everything for everyone. That's the idea of infinite. And so when we start with the predisposition of faith, and then we utilize our understanding of what interferes with or gets in our own way, what interferes with that faith, with that power, with that knowledge, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration, what is it? It's our response to the reaction of fear. And so we don't need to care what we're afraid of, because we know that no matter how we progress, there's always going to be more things to be afraid of, because uncertainty and unknown is what creates fear. And every day there's more uncertainty and more unknown. The farther we go, the less we know. And so in the context of understanding the universality of the infinite and our faith in that, and understand the human experience of how we interfere with that, get quote unquote in our own way, and we know that we're going to be afraid of uncertainty and unknown, and the farther we go, the less we know, that we now can focus strictly on the instant and obvious reaction to the uncertainty and unknown. And we now can quantify that by how much time it takes us to get back to the infinite, to get back to the source and become a better resource, a better commander of the universe. And so what we do is we realize that we react instantly and obviously with the need to be offended, like I did with Brent, the need to be right, like I do with Nick, Marissa, the need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, and worried, depressed. Those things are instant. Well, we're pissed off. You don't need a therapist to tell you you're pissed off. And too many people go to the therapist to figure out why they're pissed off instead of trying to create a behavior to stop being pissed off. And there's only one behavior that responds correctly to the divine, to the reaction that's natural and instant and obvious to fear. And it also constitutes what I call free will, and it's stopping. It's simple, but as we keep suggesting, the simple things to do are simple not to do. And so what we need to do is every time the instant and obvious reaction to fear happens, we need to respond as quickly as we can by stopping, breathing, dropping to ease, dropping to our source, dropping to recollect, remind, and remember with our source. So we become a commander, a resource of that commandment, We become a resource by reminding, remembering, recollecting with our predisposition of faith that we're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected, even though the evidence has pissed us off or made us worried or anxious or depressed, quote unquote, getting in our own way. And so when we start to create a habit consistently of stopping, of dropping, reminding, remembering, recollecting, now we're capable of what? Rolling in that divine direction of what we want, who can help us, how to get it done, and prioritize or reprioritize or pre-prioritize for the next day, doing it now. This is the whole key of getting in your own way, is a predisposition of faith and the understanding of fear, the reaction to fear, and the response to the reaction to fear of stopping, dropping, and rolling. It's quite simple. My mom, your grandma, taught me when your mind, body, and soul are on fire, you got to stop, you got to drop, and you got to roll into the divine, creating every detour, creating no evidence, evidence contrary to where you want to be is divine as well. This is the secret of getting out of your own way. It's a framework that you can practice, shortening the distance of resistance with the wisdom and the faith each and every day, so that every time the incident obvious presents itself, you're spending minutes and moments in your own way, not days, weeks, months, and years. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds